Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting session of Lambda Test XP Series. Through XP Series, we dive into the world of insights and innovation, featuring renowned industry experts and business leaders in the testing and QA ecosystem. I am your host, Sudhir Joshi, heading Alliances and Channels at Lambda Test, and it's my pleasure to have you with us today. Today's webinar will explore the intersection of AI and quality engineering, uncovering how innovation is accelerating in the realm of software testing and quality assurance. But before we dive in, let me introduce you to our guest of the show, Anthony Kaplan. He's the head of quality engineering for Accenture UKI. Anthony is a seasoned leader in the field, spearheading transformative initiative in quality engineering within the dynamic landscape of modern engineering. With his extensive experience across multiple industries, primarily retail, oil and gas, Anthony brings a wealth of insights and expertise to our discussion. In today's discussion, we will delve into transformative potential of AI in quality engineering, exploring how intelligence-driven approach are revolutionizing the testing methodology and reshaping the future of software quality. From AI-powered automation to human-centric testing strategy, we'll uncover it, latest trends, innovation, shaping the quality engineering landscape. Let's hand over the mic to Anthony to share his invaluable insight and expertise with us. Anthony, though, my first question on this would be, beyond automation, automating repetitive tasks, how you think can AI be leveraged to predict and prevent quality issues even before they arise in the SDLC?
Good morning, Sudhir, and thank you for having me. That's very nice to be here. I guess one of my biggest challenges has always been, how can we be more proactive in detecting issues before they happen? For example, finding the same defects over and over with every release. So things like being able to use AI to analyze historical data. AI can help to predict potential quality issues before they occur, and this allows teams to be more proactive in addressing these types of issues, also saving time and resources. Other areas like looking for patterns in code or behavior might lead to defects. So recognizing these patterns early on, developers and quality engineers can prevent these issues from escalating. Adding AI to automated tests. So we automate a lot, certainly in the projects that we work in. We shift left, we automate first. So adding AI to these automated tools can help to simulate some real world scenarios to identify bugs more efficiently than a manual tester would be able to. And this helps to catch issues before they impact the real users in production. And then the other area are things like when issues occur, we always look at root cause analysis. So one thing AI is good at is using big data to analyze issues. So giving it huge amounts of data, letting it look for the root cause, similar issues, underlying issues to try and prevent them from occurring in future.
Right. And with the rise of infrastructure as a code, they call it IAC, and continuous integration and delivery, how is the role of QA engineer evolving within the DevOps or around the DevOps pipeline?
Yeah, so quality engineers within the DevOps is evolving to encompass a broader range of responsibilities. So we're already doing shift left testing. So QE engineers are increasingly involved earlier on in the development lifecycle and collaborating with developers to ensure that There's quality right from the start. With infrastructure as code, the review code changes in infrastructure script alongside application code. So it's working together, right? I think there's never, I don't think there's going to be a world where clients are going to want to completely do away with automation testers or quality engineers. Modern engineering is looking at more engineering-led teams and capabilities, and we're still seeing a very big need for quality engineers as part of that development in CI/CD pipeline squads. Quality engineers focus on integration testing, verifying that all the changes to infrastructure and application code work well together. They execute tests and validate that the end functionality of the system is different, that the end-to-end functionality of the system in different environments. You also need to look at performance of these infrastructure environments. And so I think overall, there you can see how quality engineers work quite well in these type of engineering-led CI/CD squads.
Great. I think my question is quite interesting, and we are trying to get specific. So do you have any specific example from your experience, maybe in retail space, where AI-powered testing played a critical role in improving the overall quality or the end-user experience?
So one of the things we've been looking at in Accenture are accelerators to help. One of the questions we've had at the beginning of the whole Gen AI journey was, how do you test Gen AI, right? We can develop code, we can add AI to automation tools, but actually, what is the role of quality engineers in testing that it's working properly, that is giving you the right results, that is giving you the ROI that you're looking for? And so, as I say, we've been working on a number of accelerators. We've been doing a number of proof of concepts to reduce the amount of time. Some of the things we've been looking at is API testing. That's real low-hanging fruit around how you can enhance your automation with AI to produce real-world quick API scenarios. This is something that manual testers can also do. So let the manual testers write manual code, manual strings or manual words, and then the AI can go off and create the Gen AI or automated scripts for you. Other areas we've been looking at is how we can use Gen AI to take user stories and acceptance criteria and create test cases for us. We can compare what manual testers or automation engineers used to do around historical test scenarios, and then see how Gen AI can create even more scenarios surrounding those user stories and acceptance criteria. So these are all the types of things we're doing in a retail environment. It's extremely important for industries to go live quickly. Retail environments are consistently looking at their market share and ways to improve customer interaction, keep customers in store longer, buying goods, a good user experience when they get to a self checkout or when they get to the tills. And so all of these things that we are doing to increase to reduce the time it takes to get to for our testing will help the retailer get things out very quickly.
Super. Anthony, you brought two interesting points. One is, who's going to test the Gen AI driven code? I think huge responsibility on our fellow quality leaders and engineers, right? Is they need to make sure this is very well ring fenced, well compliant, right? Because a lot of BFSI are not very comfortable adopting to something which is not being tested, right? So this is a new great opportunity, but also need responsible hands to kind of take good care of it. The other thing that you mentioned, so I've been with customer science company for about almost 8 years, right? And from a retail, what you said, right? How much effort they put into retaining their loyal customer to a level of, what's my store layout, which could be very different from region to region, right? So there's a lot of science going behind all that designing. So I'm sure it's an exciting area to work on. And I'm sure, offline we would love to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. It's store layouts, it's pricing models, it's promotion types, it's all of these types of things that draw customers in, and they're generally, could be different across different areas. And using AI, you can use the data to determine the best promotions for a specific area, best loyalty schemes, etc. So yeah, it's all very exciting, all very new.
Exactly. So you already kind of, touched base on that. But what are some of those biggest challenges you see organization facing as they adopt to AI-driven quality engineering practices? And in fact, what would be your advice to organization who's kind of looking forward to leverage AI and other similar technologies?
So I've mentioned already about data, big data. Data is really important. The availability of data, the type of data. AI relies heavily on good quality data. Organizations might struggle to access clean, relevant, diverse data. What you put in, you get out. There's also ethical and regulatory considerations. We talk a lot about this in Accenture, actually, how AI-driven quality engineering raises ethical concerns around bias and privacy. Organizations need to be careful and navigate around these types of requirements. So, to address this, you could start small, scale gradually, begin with a pilot, look at some proof of concept to demonstrate the value that AI is driven tests in specific areas of the QE process are giving you. Invest in data quality and governance around that. Make sure that you are putting effort in to improve your data quality and accessibility and putting governance around your AI algorithms so that it's giving you the right output for the data that you're giving it. And then address your ethical and regulatory concerns. So make sure that you put guidelines together, policies together to address and make sure that any of these are being addressed associated with AI.
Yeah. I mean, in the continuation to this, do you also think that with kind of restrictions and apprehension adoption of Gen AI, what do you suggest as a mentor to our, the people who are young quality engineers, right? Very excited about Gen AI. What's your suggestion as an industry leader who's a practitioner, who's seen this world evolving from testing 1.0 to now testing 4.0 or something?
I think it's important to bear the restrictions in mind, but you need to put it out, you need to practice, you need to get it out there, you need young engineers coming in need to be able to express themselves. I think, going into big organizations, I don't think the restrictions that I talk about should stop you. It's just, whether it's AI or not AI, you generally need to be sensible, right, yeah, in what you're doing, whether you are, however you are developing code. and getting things to work. So it's really just, you know, be sensible, think about the bias that sometimes we forget about. Think about the ethical side of things. But I do think that my suggestion to young people, young engineers, would be to think about the ethical side, think about the bias, but don't let it restrict you from what you're doing. There's a lot we can do. There's a lot we can gain from AI, but just bear that in mind. I don't think it should restrict you.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think act responsibly.
Yeah,
we always had tons of referenceable material on internet anyway, and I think I kind of strongly agree with you, right? The teams have access to YouTube and pretty much all the website, right? But they've been always very ethical in their approach, right? And done everything in the right jurisdiction. So completely agree with you. Anthony, with all the kind of, you know, investment that organizations are doing and like of Accenture, and you spoke about a few things, how do you think the quality leaders be able to effectively measure the ROI of the, you know, such AI powered tools and strategy implementation?
So it's not dissimilar from any POC you do, whether it's AI or not. I think the things to remember is time saving. So measure the reduction in testing time achieved through automation with AI power tools compared to historical testing. That should be quite easy. Through that, look at the cost reduction. So evaluate how much time you're saving versus cost reduction you're getting. The key thing for me, and this is really something I really look at, is how effective is it in reducing or detecting defects early on? One of the most frustrating things that can happen is finding a defect just before pilot, right? We've all seen it. We've all been there. And really looking at AI-driven tools, we really need to see how we can detect defects much earlier on through the use of the data that we're giving it and giving it the historical data that it can start being a bit more proactive. And then test coverage, I guess, is the other thing, right? So like I said before, compare the increase in your test coverage achieved through your AI power tools versus your previous test cases you've got. And you can then see through the use of user stories and ACs, do actual comparisons, and hopefully through even more coverage, but completing the testing quicker through time savings, cost reductions. These are the type of areas I would see as ROI.
Yeah, well, very interesting. And I think I really like what you said about earlier in the conversation is some of this would be direct cost, but even little, but some part of it is all about user experience.
Yeah.
Whatever you're delivering, and what you said towards the end, right? You don't want to have a defect in the production because, okay, the cost of it fixing it will be high, but the impact of that, will be huge in terms of end user experience. And organization, all they are striving for is an excellent customer experience.
Exactly. And we've been striving for many years to shift left. We talk about that a lot, to automate early, automate even as part in the design stage. And these are all the things to find defects early on. Using AI power tools should give us the even more opportunity to be able to do that. So I'm really excited about that.
Great. So AI definitely is one of the, well, Gen AI is one of the emerging one. But what else, especially in QE world, what else or what kind of technology you think is emerging in next 5 to 10 years that leaders, practitioners should watch out for?
So I know I've talked a bit about reducing testing time, saving costs, reducing more of the manual testing, but actually I do see a world where when AI matures, and it's still early now, right? And we're looking at maybe, as you say, sort of 5 to 10 years ahead. As AI matures, we may see a resurgence of manual testers, and we've actually been talking about this within my team over the last few weeks, months, with the use of no-code, low-code powered by AI. You don't need to be an automation engineer or a data analyst to write code. And I see this progressing and maturing in the years to come. So I don't think we'll ever see manual testers. I don't think we'll ever see manual testers disappearing. I think we'll probably see a bit of a resurgence of that. With AI, shift right testing will focus on testing production environments. So one of the things we've struggled a little bit in the past is, how do you gather real-time feedback quickly? How do you use the production data effectively to gather enough feedback in order to address issues quickly, learn from what you've done in order to shift left later on? So these and give you the right feedback loops. So this is one area that I think AI can certainly help with. Cybersecurity threats have increased and are increasing. We see it all the time in the news. So, and the use of DevSecOps now, where we integrate security practices into the DevOps pipeline. This helps as well around security considerations, and we can prioritize these through the use of software development life cycles. And then, as I mentioned before, as organizations continue to mature the use of AI, we'll probably start to see more conversations about ethical use of it. It's really, really super important to understand the output of your AI-based software and ensures producing the results that are ethical and right for your organization. So I think for me, those are the key things that we'll be looking at.
I mean, it's great to hear your view on the whole manual testing. I think I can only add one flavor and rather an example, right? We always had this IVR systems, and then whenever you have an urgent issue, you would always rush to talk to someone. So transactional thing can be taken care of, you know, raising a complaint, etc. But you always need this human touch. And I think I'm sure this may happen in 5 years down the line, but there's no easy way to really test the user experience. And that's where you really need human doing that kind of interaction with your application, with your systems, you know, what is my user journey to achieve this outcome, right? Ordering a product or you know, adding my card, etc. And maybe a few more complex examples. But essentially, I completely agree with you that this is not making people redundant. This is about empowering them so they can focus on the right things where we need that kind of human intervention and experience.
Yeah, it's absolutely not making people redundant, and we don't like to use that word. It's about changing their role, right? It's about giving people the ability to do something more interesting than sitting and writing manual test scripts for 8 hours a day. It's about utilizing the power of AI to do that work. And then training them and upskilling them on how to analyze the results and continue with in other areas.
Super. I mean, I've done multiple conversations, Anthony, but this is by far the best 25, most productive and quite insightful. And as we wrap up our today's show, I would really like to thank you, Anthony, for joining us today. I really understand your busy schedule, so thank you so much for taking time out. I hope our audience must have gained, quality insight from Anthony's experience and kind of experiment he's doing within the organization. Also, thanks to everyone for tuning in, being part of this discussion around AI and quality engineering. Stay tuned for more insight episodes and engaging conversation as part of our XP series. Until the next time, keep innovating, exploring new horizons in testing and QA. Thank you and a goodbye.
Thanks for having me.